seated. Peace of the Lord be with you, Hope College. Blessed Wednesday to each of you. We step into Civil Rights Week this week. One quick notice that I want to call your attention to. Tomorrow at 6 o'clock, State of the MSO Address in the SCOP Auditorium in the Boltman Student Center. Invite all of you to come out and hear that tomorrow at 6 p.m. Civil Rights Week, for us in the church, has everything to do with the image of God, of how God's image is in each of us. One particular population group that often is overlooked in the discussion during Civil Rights Week are those with physical challenges, cognitive challenges, disabilities of some form or another, which is why I'm so pleased to welcome to the pulpit of Hope College, Dr. Ben Connor, who is professor of practical theology at Western Theological Seminary, just right to the south of us. He's the director of the Graduate Certificate in Disability and Ministry. He spent nearly 20 years in the church and working with Young Life. He has a PhD from Princeton Seminary, but what Ben is really about is a heart that loves God in people. And I'm so pleased to share my friend with you this morning. Would you please give a warm Hope College welcome to Dr. Ben Connor.
So I was a camp that was designed in its property and all of its programming for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, and I was facing a crisis. I was excited to bring a friend of mine there named Bo. Bo loves to read. Bo has a great sense of humor. Bo also hates when things change. Anybody else like that? Yeah, he gets very anxious. And it just so happens we're at a camp that's not at his home. The timing's different. The scheduling's different. So now on the third day of a five-day camp, all that Bo's done is cry. And I'm thinking, I got to find some way to deal with this. How can I deal with it? Well, the way he dealt with it is he liked warmth and coziness. And so we couldn't get him out of the shower. He was using all the hot water. He'd just stay in the shower with the hot water running over him for like half an hour at a time. We finally got him out, and we were going to take him with us to one of the larger group meetings. And as we're walking along, we couldn't find him, which it's never good if you lose someone that you're responsible for at camp, especially if they have Down syndrome. So he had difficulty processing what's going on. So I said, you guys go on, I'm going to look for him. So I'm looking around the camp, and I find his shirt. And then I'm moving along, and I find his shoes and his socks, and I can see where this trail of clothes is leading. I find his pants, then I find his boxers, and then I find him in the hot tub with a big smile on his face. So I managed to find Bo. Fortunately, I was also managed to find a towel. And I put the towel around him, and we got redressed, and we went back to our dorm. And we talked about, okay, how can I help this? How can I fix this for you is what I was trying to figure out, right? Well, I had four kids of my own, and one of them had some challenges with learning. And so I was used to that, so I applied all the skill and knowledge I gained from parenting to the situation, and it didn't work. I also had, at the time, it was like 12 years of ministry experience and a little bit of that with people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So I went back through all I had learned from that and applied it to the situation, and nothing worked. So I also had a Master of Divinity, which is the cockiest degree title ever. I had mastered God, mind you. And while I was doing that, I took a course. The course was called Pastoral Care and Counseling, and I learned how to be a non-anxious presence. The problem is I was very anxious, and it doesn't work. You can't be a non-anxious presence very well when you're anxious. So he started crying more. I was also a defense away from a dissertation where I was starting to research these things. And I'm telling you, I was a complete failure, so now we're both crying. Bo is behind me in the green. He's the one in the green. Now, fortunately, I was rescued. A friend of mine who describes himself as a complete and total redneck. He loves NASCAR. He loves country music. He loves the football team from Washington. These are the things that he loves. And he's a friend of mine, and he still calls me anytime Virginia Tech plays football. He calls me anytime there's a sporting event he thinks I'll like. He calls me, no matter where I am. He sees the situation I'm in. Another thing you should know about him, his name is Craig. He was in his mother's womb when she was in a car accident. As a result, he has cerebral palsy, and he has an intellectual disability. Not everyone with cerebral palsy has an intellectual disability. He does. Well, he didn't have enough of an intellectual disability that he couldn't see I was struggling. So he came, walked, very difficult for him to walk, but he walked up next to us, and he sat in between me and Bo, and he put his arm around Bo, and Bo leaned his head on Craig, and Bo stopped crying. And I realized something very important that day, that for all my training and all my capacities and all my gifts and experiences, I didn't have what was needed to minister to Bo at that moment. Craig had what was needed. And he didn't have the theological training, he didn't have the parenting experience. It turns out that he had the gifts of the Spirit necessary to be part of the body of Christ and minister. So I realized that the body of Christ has cerebral palsy. The body of Christ has Down syndrome. That was a transformative moment for me that made me rethink all the ways I thought through what I thought I knew in Christianity. What is discipleship? What am I training people to do? How do you train people well? Who's qualified to be a minister? How do you lead people in Christ? And what does it mean to be made in the image of God? And as I went through what I believed about it, I found out most of what I depended on for thinking about image of God had to do with Western cultural values and American values like independence, rationality, the capacity for abstraction, all these sorts of things. And I thought that that's how we imaged God somehow, that it's through things that we had that were given to us in terms of capacities that we then developed and imaged God. But I realized the way that I was putting this together in my mind was excluding people who didn't have those sort of intellectual capacities. And it turns out that imaging God is less about these capacities we have and things that we possess, and more about relationality, being connected to Christ. Because though we're made in the image of God, male and female together as a group, we image God together, the one image of God is Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:4, it talks about the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. Colossians 1:15 talks about Jesus as the image of the invisible God. Hebrews 3:3 talks about Jesus as the exact representation of God's being. And so, the true image of God is Jesus, and to the degree that we are connected in Jesus, in Christ, and to one another, then we're image bearers. So it's not so much what we have and what we can do, it's what's gifted to us in Christ and how we're related to each other and to Christ. So interdependence, mutuality, these sorts of things. So my charge to you is that you view part of the diversity of creation as important for image bearing, that we bear the image together. And things that I don't have, Craig does have, and things Craig doesn't have, I have, and things you don't have, she has. And so together, we bear that image. The degree that we're connected to each other, the degree that we're connected to Christ, that's how we're image bearers. So the charge is you go out as a community, bear that image together. Do it by being united in Christ. Do it by the power of the Holy Spirit, and do it to the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Go in peace.